Cut it off, I yelled. Shut up, or my dad'll hear you, Carson Mastick said. He's not that drunk yet, and I'm going to have a hard enough time explaining how you come down looking like a different kid than the one that went upstairs. For 10 minutes, he'd been farting around, waving the scissors like a magic wand. Now he yanked the long tail of hair from my neck and touched the scissors an inch above my collar. Is this about it? There's no turning back once I start chopping. Yep, that's it, I said. You think cutting off your braid is going to make those white kids suddenly talk to you? Carson's cousin Tammy said. If you believe that, you need brain surgery, not a haircut. What do you care what they think anyway? You've had this braid since, what, kindergarten? Second grade, I said. If you'll remember, someone stuck a massive wad of gum in my hair that year, and I had to cut it all off and start over. Was an accident, Carson said. The same thing he said whenever he did something terrible that he secretly thought was funny. Give it to me, Tammy said. I got better things to do. She grabbed the scissors. Wait, Carson said. I didn't... Suddenly, it was gone. The hair I'd grown for 5 years. Tammy held it out in her hand, and I turned around. You didn't fix it first, I said. Everyone on the reservation knew that when you snipped off a braid, if you wanted to save it, you had to tie off both ends before you cut. And since almost no one cut off a braid casually, you always saved it to remember the reason you had cut it. What Tammy held looked like a small, black hay bale. What am I going to do with that? I yelled. And Carson made the shush expression with his face. You can't braid it loose. It's not boondoggle. You could always do what I do, Tammy said. I have my stylist sweep it up for me, and then when I get home, I let it go in one of the back fields so the birds can nest with it. Your stylist, Carson laughed. I'm the one that cuts her hair. In the mirror, my hair fell in strange lengths from Tammy's cut. Let me even this out, Carson said. But with each slice he made, my hair looked worse. Like I was in one of those paintings at school where the person's lips are on their cheek and one eye sits on top of their ear. I noticed something else in the mirror I hadn't registered before. When did you get a guitar? Last week, Carson said, picking it up and strumming it, then tossing it back in the corner. I told my old man I wanted one, and he knew I was talking electric, but he brought this piece of crap home. Showed me a few chords, said, if I'm still playing it in December, we'll think about the electric. Where'd it come from? I walked over to pick it up, but he grabbed it away. Sorry, he said with a fake sad face. The old man said no one else could touch it. We just got it on Hawk. Bug Jamison was hard up for some of his Rhine wine, so the old man bought him a few jugs till the end of the month, and we're holding the guitar hostage. If he don't pay up when his disability check comes in, the guitar's mine. But until then... Can you play any Beatles? I asked, hopeful. Beatles. They broke up and ain't never getting back together. Get over it. I left a few minutes later, starting my long walk home across half the reservation, still gripping the hank of hair. I opened my fingers a little, every few yards to let the August breeze take some for the birds. As I turned the corner at Dog Street, where I lived, I could see my old elementary school. The teachers would be in their classrooms now, decorating bulletin boards with, "Welcome to the 1975-76 school year," in big construction paper letters. They were going to be puzzled by the fact that the United States Bicentennial Celebration wasn't exactly a reservation priority, since we'd been here for a lot longer than 200 years. The sight of the school reminded me of how I got in this situation in the first place. It probably started back in third grade, when I had become a novelty. When I told my ma I was going to be featured on Indian Culture Night as the only kid from my grade who could speak Tuscarora fluently, I thought she would be happy, since she was always talking good grades this and good grades that. But she laughed like she did when the caseworker asked about my dad's child support payments during our monthly visits to her cubicle. You're just the dog and pony show, Ma said. She spoke a couple of sentences in Tuscarora. Know what I said? She asked. I shook my head. Didn't think so. They're looking for cash to keep the program going. Everyone wants to believe we can rebuild what the boarding schools took away from us. You're Lewis the Horse, the proof that it can be done, that kids could learn the traditional language. But I don't know who you're going to speak it to, she said. No one your age speaks it, and no one out in the white world would understand you. Concentrate on subjects that are going to actually help you out.